What do people feel when they're around you? We are often more aware of how others make us feel than how we make them feel. We are often unconscious of how we make others feel. But we know and we'll tell everybody else on how what they do to us. Last week we started a series on relationships. Before that we had a series on revival. We can't have revival in our church unless our relationships are right. Who do you know that you would describe as an angry person? I'm sure that each of us has our own list. And there's someone at the top of that list. These people intimidate you. They're like porcupines that you can't get close to. What about the person who is overly sensitive? That all you can do is got to choose your words and everything. It's like walking on eggshells around them. You know, they're the kind of people that motivate you through guilt. Do you know someone who's envious or jealous? Do you enjoy being with them? Do you enjoy being around people who only want to talk about themselves? Do you know any anxious people or fearful people? They too are uncomfortable with intimacy, and it's hard to get close to them. It's hard to have a close relationship with them. Do you know someone who's critical? Everything you do, they have an opinion on, and their opinion is the only what? Right one. We all know people like that. What about someone who's a pessimist? I had a coworker that he was just negative all the time. And I said, you're like Eeyore. You have this thing always going around and things aren't bad. You just think they're bad. But you know, we know people that basically the light at the end of the tunnel is a what? An approaching freight train instead of a way out. But how many of these people you know that have these characteristics are in the church? There's a lot of people that call themselves Christians and they act like this. Our citizenship is in heaven. We should act like Christ. Amen. We can't have favorites as we talked about to the kids. This morning the title of my sermon is Relationships That Are Empowered by God. Everything we do should have a purpose for God. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Let your light shine before men that they may what? See your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Ye are the salt of the earth. Let your conversation always be seasoned with grace. Folks, we need to make a difference. Last week we talked about relationships in the church. And relationships in the church should draw others to Christ. We use the acrostic of church and said that the first thing we need to be is we need to be Christ-like. The second thing we need to do is we need to go from house to house. Our relationships in church shouldn't be Sunday only. It should be a lifelong thing. We should have unity in the church and in our relationships. We should be equal to everybody. Our relationships in church should be redemptive. Our relationships in church should be compassionate. Our relationships in church should be helpful. But are we that way? Those people that we describe that we all know aren't doing those things. We talked last week that our relationships reflect our relationship with Christ. The way we treat others is probably the way we treat God. And if we treat God right, we'll treat others right. It just naturally follows. One day Jesus came and he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And some said Elias, and some said one of the prophets. But Peter stands up and says, "I got the answer. Let me call me, call me." He says, "You're the Messiah. You're the Son of God." And what did Christ say? He says, "Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven revealed this to you." Later on, Peter says, "You're not going to do that, God." And he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." See, the issue is our relationships change. The way we act in our relationships change. And it reflects who we follow. Remember what Christ said to the religious people, the Pharisees, the self-righteous. He says, "Ye are of your father, the devil." So, does your relationships, who you hang out with, who you have business associate, do they reflect a Christian background? They better in the church, or we're going nowhere. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. He says, "From henceforth let no man trouble me." He says, "For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." Do you know what we need to have? Is we need to have the imprint of Jesus in our life. Everything we do should be God-controlled. And so this morning we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and relationships and what it can do for us. We need to realize that the Holy Spirit is the power of God. Christ is salvation, but the Holy Spirit is the power of God. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, a very familiar verse, he says, "But so all the people are waiting, and Christ is going to ascend up into heaven." And he says, "You stay here in Jerusalem to Pentecost, and then something good's going to happen." But he says, "But ye shall what? Receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." The moment we get saved, we get the Holy Ghost. The moment we get saved, we get all the Holy Ghost we need. The issue is how much of the Holy Ghost you let work in your life. It's how much of the power that you let work in your life. And it says, after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. See, God's gift is for us to use to show others so they can receive the gift too. That brings revival. But we can't do it unless we have a right relationship. And we need God to control it. And it says, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." See, the Holy Spirit's here all the time. God sees us all the time. And our relationships should be godly wherever they are. Our relationships should be godly whenever they are. Our relationships should be godly with whosoever they're with. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." So if you're fearful today, understand that that's not the Holy Spirit talking. That's you. If you're angry today, then you need to forgive maybe. Because that's not the Holy Spirit talking. That's you. All those people you don't want to be around, that's not the Holy Spirit talking. That's them. It says, "For the God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? But of power and of love." Last week we talked about you can't be compassionate. You can't be helpful unless you love people. You can't be Christ-like unless you love people. And of a what? Sound mind. Boy, we need some stability in thinking today. It's not out there. It's in here. And it's definitely in this book.
Amen.
It's definitely in this book. So what we're going to look at very quickly is we're going to look at three things of the work of the Holy Spirit in our relationships. And that's why the message is the relationships that are God-empowered, or empowered by God. You know, sometimes we have a friendship and things don't go the right way, and we might be second guessing something, and we really go and we say, "Are you really my friend? Do I really know you? Is it what I really think we have?" See, the Holy Spirit does the first thing is confirms our relationship with Christ. This morning, I want you to realize that you're Christ. And you're owned by Him. And if you have doubts today, leave them here. And understand the truth of God's Word. Let the Holy Spirit reign in your heart. See, we need to know first that we have a relationship with God, because before we can do anything for Him. If you do not know Him as Savior, if you do not know Him to get you to heaven, if you have a doubt if you die today, you go to heaven, then you need to know Him today. And you have an opportunity to say that and to get saved today. But see, the Holy Spirit lives in us. We are the what? Temple of the Holy Ghost. He takes residence the moment we get saved. In John chapter 6, verse 44, it says, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." It's the Holy Spirit that draws us to Christ. And see, we need to understand our relationship with Christ to ourselves first. So it's a foundation that we can build off of. It says, "And I will raise him up at the last day." In 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, it was a memory verse. It says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself." See, you know that you are or you're not Christ. You know if you're going to heaven or you're not. It's not a maybe. Maybe I think so. No, you either know or not. The Holy Spirit will tell you that you are or you're not. It says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath this witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." See, we have to get right with God before we get right with anybody else. We have to know our relationship with God and see the foundation of that before we go any further. That's the starting point. See, the Holy Spirit confirms our relationship with Christ to ourselves. The Holy Spirit confirms our relationship with Christ with others. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16, it says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." You know, a couple years ago I phrased the Ceno thing, Christian in name only. They say they are. You know, we hear about rhinos and all this other stuff. There are Cenos out there too. Just because what you say doesn't work, it's what's down in here. Amen. You know what's down in here in your heart. And that'll tell you, yep, we have communion here. We have unity here. We have a common purpose here. It says the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we were the children of God, might be the children of God. No, we are the children of God. You know, we need to convince ourselves, and then we need to be convinced of others. I think today we're too easy to accept people as friends because we've changed the meaning of friend. You know, Facebook just says, "I'm a friend." No, you're not. Okay? Probably don't know him from Adam. Never met him. How can you be a friend with someone you never met? How can you be a friend with Christ if you never met him? Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 says this, "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts," plural, "crying, Abba, Father." You know, when two Christians get together, you know what they ought to talk about? God. You know what should be present? The Holy Spirit. You know why? Because if two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the what? Midst. We need to realize that, folks. We need to take our conversation from here and put it that way. So see, the Holy Spirit confirms a relationship with Christ to ourselves. The Holy Spirit confirms our relationship with Christ with others. And then lastly, the Holy Spirit confirms our relationship with Christ to God. Here's an interesting passage, interesting verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Paul's writing Timothy, and he's encouraging him. He says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure." Who is the foundation? Christ is the foundation. What's the foundation for your life? You're saved or not? You need to be saved. And then build from there. Okay? "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal." What's a seal? Something that it contains us. Okay? "The Lord knoweth them that are His." You may say that you know the Lord, but does the Lord know you? The Holy Spirit will tell you if you are or not. It says, "And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" So the first thing that the Holy Spirit does in our relationships, it confirms that our relationships with Christ. And folks, everything that we do should draw us closer to Christ. Everything. "Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all" what? "Heartily to the name of the Lord." Secondly, the Holy Spirit controls our relationships in Christ. And there's four things that we need to understand here about letting the Holy Spirit work in your life. Because if the Holy Spirit works in your life this way, it's going to change your relationships. It's going to change the way you interact with other people. The first thing we need to understand is that when we're Spirit taught, our relationships will be going the right direction. In John chapter 16, verses 13 through 14, it says, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth," is what? Come. Okay? "He will guide you into all truth." You know, there's a lot of fake relationships out there. Our relationships, especially in the church, should be based on truth. Should be based on a common salvation, a common spirit, a common power. "He'll guide you in all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself." Ah! So you got somebody around all talks about themselves? God never comes into conversation? Guess what? They're not Holy Spirit taught. Because if you have the Holy Spirit, you'll be talking about Him. He says, "But He shall not speak for of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you" what? "Things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He hath received of Mine, and shall show it unto you." See, we've often talked about what kind of worldview we need. We need a biblical worldview. Amen. We need to see the things through the prism of God's Word. And the only way that you'll do that is if you are Spirit taught. Our relationships should be seen through the prism of God's Word. And He's going to say, "This is good, this is not good." And you need to get rid of the thing. "Forgetting those things that are behind, I press forward to the prize of high calling of Christ Jesus." So the Holy Spirit will control our relationships in Christ when we're Spirit taught. The Holy Spirit will control our relationships in Christ when we're Spirit filled. When we're Spirit filled. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21, and it says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye" what? Everybody say it. Filled with the Spirit. Now, we talked about people that you don't want to be around. You don't want to be around the Eeyore. You don't want to be around the pessimist. You don't want to be around the one that only talks about themselves. You don't want to be around the one that's angry. But look what happens if you're filled with the Spirit. "Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." See, our relationship with Christ, knowing that He'll never leave us or forsake us, should give us peace no matter where we are. Now, some people are only happy being a Christian when things are going well and not being happy when things are going badly. But if we're filled with the Spirit, guess what? We're always singing psalms. We're always singing songs. We're always looking to Christ. Everything is looked through the prism of Christ. I want to be around people like that. Someone who's happy, who's balanced, who's temperate. Secondly, you like to be around people whose everything's wrong? They're thankful for nothing. They're not appreciative. I don't like being around non-appreciative people. Okay? You want your kids to appreciate you? Okay? You want your coworkers to appreciate you? Look at this. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, if you're filled with the Spirit, the first thing is you're going to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You're going to have peace of passive understanding, verse 19. 20, you're going to be appreciative of what God does for you. It says, or supposed to be ye thankful, what Paul wrote to another church. And then the other thing is we'll play well together. We'll play well together. You know, church should not be a tug of war. We should all be pulling in the same direction. And we should all be pulling our same weight. Submitting yourselves one to another. Now, some people have a problem with that. No one's going to tell me what to do. Then your relationship with Christ is not right. You need the Holy Spirit to get a hold of you and fix that. People don't want to be around you when you say, well, I'm not going to do what you tell me to. Submitting yourselves one to another in the what? Fear of the Lord, because we have a common person to respect, God. So our relationship should be controlled by the Holy Spirit when Spirit taught. If you're not being taught by the Holy Spirit, it's not going to work. Relationships controlled by the Holy Spirit in Christ when you're Spirit filled. If you're not filled by the Spirit, not going to work. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit control your relationship with Christ when you're Spirit led. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Galatians chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. For all the love is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt what? Love thy neighbor as thyself. But obviously that doesn't happen in churches. It didn't happen in the Galatian churches, because look at the next sentence. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye not be consumed one of another. See, relationships should be giving, not taking. And there's people that all they want to do is take. You know, you have that neighbor that all he wants to do is just borrow something. And sometimes he comes over and says, what do you want now? And there's a habit there. You go, what? You know, you might say that. Or you might feel that. Doesn't matter. It's the same thing. What do you want now? Sometimes you might even get frustrated. Just take it. Not going to give it back anyway. You want something else, so you just consume it on your own lust. Just take it. Folks, we shouldn't be like that. For the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye not be consumed one another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If your relationships are taking you the wrong way, you're not walking in the Spirit. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you're not Spirit filled. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you're not being Spirit led. If you're not walking in the Spirit, not being Spirit taught, your relationships are faulty. So the Holy Spirit controls our relationships in Christ when we're Spirit taught, when we're Spirit filled, when we're Spirit led, and then lastly, when we're Spirit fruitful. Go down a couple more verses in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. You know, you can't legislate love. You could try to, it's not going to work. We see those failed social experiments all the time. You can't legislate joy. You will be happy. Doesn't work that way. See, Christ said this. He says, not everybody, Lord, Lord, will enter in the kingdom of heaven. He says, but by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, we talked at the beginning of this message about all the people that we wouldn't want to be around. But would we want to be around people who are full of love, joy, peace, long-suffering? Boy, if you find someone that's doing 22 and 23, you want to be a friend with them. We'll talk about that next week. But the issue is that we, if the Holy Spirit is in, we're going to have the what? Fruit of the Spirit. This is showing that we are Spirit taught. This is showing that we are Spirit filled. This is showing that we're Spirit led. This is changing our lives. You call yourself a Christian and you're the same way you were before you got saved, something's wrong. Your relationship with God is flawed. And you can't have a relationship, a fulfilling relationship in church like that. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. The previous passage said, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The end of the chapter says this, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You can't walk in the Spirit unless you live in the Spirit. You can't live in the Spirit unless you're Spirit taught. You can't live in the Spirit unless you're Spirit filled. You can't live in the Spirit unless you say, okay, God, where do you want me to go? And I'll do it. Being Spirit led. And others will want to be around you. There's more than we talked in our youth class about the popular person in school. Why do people want to be popular? You know, why is that person popular? It's this, you know. You know something we already know here. If we do what it's about the early church, it says they were breaking bread and God added to the church and said they found favor with what? All men. They found favor with all men. Folks, you want people to gravitate towards you? Be Christ-like. Be light in darkness. So, the power of the Holy Spirit confirms our relationship with Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit controls our relationships in Christ. And then lastly, the power of the Holy Spirit cements our relationships with each other. We have a common goal. We're all going to the same author and finisher of our faith, Christ Jesus. Four things real quick. It cements our relationship with each other in identity. There are people that you want to be associated with, and there are people that you don't want to be associated. And you've even said that. Don't sit there and look smug at me. I know exactly what you're thinking. I don't even want to be around that person because I don't want people to think that I'm their friend. See, when we're doing everything God's way, the Holy Spirit way, we are together in identity. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Oh, this morning, let's cement our identity with Christ together. Secondly, as we talked about last week with the you in church, it brings unity. In Romans chapter 12, verse 5, it says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. This whole thing, you think they can do everything in the church by yourself, you can't do it. We need others to help us along and to work together. See, knowing that you need somebody else will cement that relationship with that person. It's mutual benefit. That was the whole issue of the church. It's the fellowship was partnership for what? Mutual benefit. Not just for yours, but also for theirs. Thirdly, Holy Spirit cements our relationships with each other in mind. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, should be a familiar passage, is that there be any, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. Paul's saying this. If there's any of this, there's got to be a reason. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be what? Like-minded. Like-minded. Having the same what? Love. Being of one accord. Of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. See, Christ humbled himself. You go on further down this passage, talks, he humbled himself, became fashioned as man, and then became obedient to the death of the cross. Didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God because he was God. But he did all that for us. Why won't we give up ourselves for others? Why are we always into it for ourselves? See, the Holy Spirit cements our relationship with each other in our mind. And then lastly, it cements our relationship with each other in mission. You know, it's great when we're all going the same way. You know, people call out for unity and healing in our nation. But you know what it is? It's just one faction saying everybody needs to see it our way. And not really working for the common good. And unfortunately, there's factions in churches where it's just, this is the way we need to go. And they'll do it at the expense of the church. And at the expense of the ministry. At the expense of the mission. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 says, now he which established us with you in Christ. Paul's writing, he says, look, he says, I'm part of the of all of you all. I'm part of this church, I'm part of this church, I'm part of this church, I'm part of Christ. He says, I go around bearing the marks of the body of Christ in me. And he says, now he which established us with you is in Christ and hath anointed us is God. If God is not in your relationship with Christ, you have no relationship with Christ. If God is not in relationships with your friends and your neighbors, you're not loving your neighbor as yourself, and therefore you need that fixed. If this relationship is right, then these relationships will be right. And they will be cemented together. So this morning as I close, is God empowering your relationships? You could tell or not. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I got great news for you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved you so much he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins. He was buried and rose again the third day. And he did it for you because he loves us. And he loves you. And if you never accepted him as Savior, you need to say, Lord, I know who you are. I know you're the Son of God. I know you died on the cross for my sins. I know you were buried. I know you rose again the third day. I confess that you are who you are. You're God incarnate. You're God the Savior. Come into my life and save me. And based on the authority of word, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're going to heaven. And if that relationship is right, then all the other relationships will be right. And then let the Holy Spirit, church, work in our relationships. Work in our families. Work in our church. Work in our neighbors. Let him work in us. We're not finished yet. We're on our way. But let him change us into who he wants us to be. And if we're like him, people will see that. And they'll be naturally drawn to Christ. Because they want to be around someone who has love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, faith. Oh, let's be that people. Let's be that church. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask for this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts and help us, Lord, just to be who you want us to be. Father, help us to give all of our relationships to you. Father, there's bad relationships in our life. Lord, we ask that you just purge those. Father, there's good relationships, Lord, we just ask that they would grow. Lord, just help us, Lord, just to be your servants. And help us, Lord, to be changed today to be more like you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Your cross.